offer like a kid type Cybertruck.
Recording.
Good evening. It is 6 p.m. on December 15th. I call this monthly meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. And you call the roll, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Okay.
All present.
So first up, public input. This is public input as it pertains to tonight's agenda. Going once, going twice, okay. Next up, minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of November 17, 2021.
I'll make a motion to accept them.
Okay, discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of November 17, 2021, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. And Treasurer's Report, approval of the November 2021 financial statements subject to audit. David?
Yes. What would you like?
Any comments, highlights on...
Well, I noticed we've got a pretty good attendance tonight, so my guess is everyone's here to go through the audit. I see Mr. Hood in the audience so that he can help with this whole project presentation. That's awesome. Because I sure as heck don't know what's going on.
I will support the motion.
Is this being recorded? anyway, yeah, I did go through the operations for the first 6 months. And again, like last month, not a lot of... There's some things that are catching up a little bit, yeah, as far as timing between actuals and budgets, but I want to look at once the 6 month numbers hit, I want to do a deep dive into a lot of the variances that are coming up and see if we can use the money somewhere else, or then we're going to be short. We're going to be just kind of look at the rest of the year after 6 months. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight. Nothing out of the ordinary. So. And the balance sheet looks pretty good still, which is a result of our surpluses over the last couple of years. And I'm not aware of it. I didn't see any old receivables on the books of any substance. So everybody's doing a good job paying their bills or having to deal with Susan. Just to rectify it. Or could. So that's all I got on the other than the 5 month statement through November. So, any other questions?
Like before the motion that we accept the November 2021 financial statement subject to audit.
Second. Okay, any more discussion on the October? Sorry, any more discussion on the November 2021 financial statements?
That's too late for October.
Yeah, it's too late for October. You're right. Okay, all those in favor of approving the November 2021 financial statement subject to audit, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. And next up, approval of the fiscal year 2021 draft financial statements.
This is where the fun begins.
Right.
You can ask all the questions you want. I spent some time going back through these things and kind of reconciling what we put out. In other words, we had numbers in June of last year, the year-to-date numbers, year-end numbers. And I kind of compare it to here. And basically, there's not a lot of differences, especially, well, the income statement, of course, is much different because of the depreciation it's booked. And that number, we just don't book it during the year because that's a non-cash item. And it doesn't really, it would get more in the way than it would add meaning to the interim statements. So, you know, basically, if you take our numbers from last June and subtract the depreciation, which is $1,621,000, you're going to get pretty close to what this is. So, and Susan, there's not a lot of other adjusting entries other than balance sheet. Like, I do see where they brought in, it looks like the auditors brought in some balance sheet numbers, especially on the construction projects.
Yes.
Where it looks like they just simply grossed up the amount due from government entities and grossed up the accounts payable for just about the same number.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what we were doing during the year anyway.
Right.
But they kind of made it official. So if you look at the, again, on the balance sheet, if you see the amounts due from our government authorities, which is, where did it go? It was here a minute ago. $2,160,000. And if you take the accounts payable plus the retainage that we're holding on to for about it's a 10% retainage for a $2 million contract, you're going to get pretty close to that $2,160,000. And the difference between those two are the real accounts payable, which is a couple of thousand. So I think we're in good shape there. The other things the auditors did to our statements was this crazy OPEB stuff, which is the other post-employment benefits. And there's a whole bunch of actuarial calculations that go on. I'm not real crazy about the assumptions that they put in the footnotes about, you know, what the inflation is and where the return is, but that's a discretion for our time. They pretty much piggyback off the city, so we don't have a lot of room there. And, you know, one of the footnotes talks about, you know, they have to put assumptions there in order to calculate the actuarial numbers. And one of the assumptions was 2% inflation, which we all know that's not happening right now. But they have to also measure it with they have to go specific to teachers and other municipalities, other municipal outfits to. So it's comparable. It's not necessarily reality. It's simply comparable to the environment that these reports are in. Because these financial statements get incorporated into the city's audited numbers. But other than, you know, I guess my point is that going through our June statements, I call them our internal statements, and comparing them to this, I understand what the differences are. So, you know, I may not agree with a couple of them, but I understand what they are. So,
it's going to be worse next year with those, mainly. We do the work coverage in here.
Say that again, what part?
The gap 275, I think that's what it is.
Oh, yes. Yes. I turned off my professional learning after fast,
yeah.
after 67.
Oh, we have to record all of our receivables.
Yes, of the land leases.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically have to record it all. We're not going to do that, by the way. I mean, we will, but I don't want it to screw up our internal management statement.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So at some point, when we get to that part with the auditors, you know, let me know, and we'll have a discussion.
Okay.
Because I don't want GASB's and FASB's screwing up our operating statements. Because all it's going to do is gross up the leases, gross up the deferred revenue, and it's just going to, we're not going to know which are our actual leases. And what the the audited numbers are. We're gonna have to consistently reconcile between those two. And I'm not really crazy about doing that. I'm starting to sound like one of my former clients, but I don't. That's okay. You guys, you spotters, you do this the wrong way. So anyway, so that's my only observation on this stuff. I did read through some of the footnotes, but you know, half of them are OPEB related. So, and the pension stuff, those employment benefits, but the other stuff is pretty straightforward. So
what are our action items other than approving your wonderful Gatsby summary? Thank you. Is it just more of a, I guess from a high level, nothing jumps out at you?
That's correct. And, it, you know, as I'm sure the fellow will tell us, this, you know, it's a clean opinion, you know, no changes, no management issues. You know, they look at the, this year we also did the signal audit, correct? And that required a look at the organization's internal controls and tested a bunch of the compliance with that. And the compliance with the grants, or the grants from the construction project. So nothing jumped off the page on that either.
Great.
So in order, I guess, you know, the approval has got to come only so that they can
publish. Not draft.
Right. And, you know, not seeing or not hearing about any issues, you know, compliance or otherwise, from the auditors, I mean, I'm not going to go back and take and tie these numbers back to what the auditors did, but I think in the general, you know, the old, is it fairly presented as the opinion says, yes, they're fairly stated, so.
Okay.
Anybody have any comments, any questions for me? Well,
okay. Well, in that case, I will make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2021 draft financial statements.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion on this paper? Okay, all those in favor of approving the fiscal year 2021 draft financial statements, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Okay, we've had a number of communications this month, a number of lease renewals. A note from I think some of Mac Air's attorneys about continuation of operation of business at the airport. We'll get into the lease renewals in a few minutes. And the continuation of operation of business is that's basically for our information, mm-hmm. if I understand correctly.
It is, yes. If you'd like, Mr. Chairman, I'll speak to that for a moment.
Please go ahead.
Brief, for the record, Shane Lawson. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all again. This is a routine upon passing of an individual that holds properties that are in the process of doing business. So several of my dad's properties here were a hangar. There are four buildings, and I think they were all included in the notice to you. Plus building 19, which is also a condominium by 17 hangars up for the inside. So the court has indicated to us, again, this is routine, that they would like us to come before the court on the 22nd for the purpose of discussing with the judge continuing my dad's businesses. Pretty routine, but this is something they do to protect creditors. So as I mentioned that word, let me assure you we're very solvent and in good shape. No issues. You are welcome to attend if you wish. We expect that the approval will be summarily granted at the hearing, and it will continue to operate the facility just as they are, with no interruption of service or anything of that nature. Essentially, if other folks had had some input, these buildings might have been rolled into the corpus of perhaps Nitrogen Aviation years ago, but that was not my call to make. So that's why we're here, where we are today, and we expect it to be very routine. Offline, if any of you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'd be more than happy to go over that'll be routine. You know, if I can, Mr. Chairman, just to jump forward to the building nine, why here I am at least tonight. As some of you may know, when a parent passes away and you're an heir, a date of death valuation has to occur on assets. Facilities here at the airport are leased properties, and as such, the fact of the lease and the imminent expiration of the final term on the lease, as we're facing with Building 19, but not with the others, affects the value, because an appraiser who has to do a date of death appraisal, as is of August 28th of this year, will look at it and say, oh, you've only got 8 months left on your lease, for example, or whatever we have on, I think it's 14 months on, actually, maybe a little bit more. And as a consequence, that will set the basis of the building, the value of it, as of that date, August 28th in our case, at a very low value because there's no lease left. And until the lease renewal, our new term is approved, as far as the appraisal is concerned, and of course the government for tax purposes, there's nothing left, and the building isn't really worth much because if we were to sell you a unit, for example, you've only got a year in there, and so what have you got for that? So that's why we're here on 19, and I probably overstayed my welcome a little bit on the explanation, but that's where we're at.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that brings us to reports. First up is the tower report. We're down a little bit. For November, we had 6,254 operations compared to 6,936 last month. So that's a 10% drop month to month. And we had a 17% drop from year to year. You know, same month in 2020, we had 7,525 operations. So, you know, not sure what's driving a downward trend right now, but yeah, that's kind of what it is at the moment.
Up 7% overall, though, right?
Yeah.
For the year?
Up 7 over, yeah.
Yep.
So that's a good number. Let's see, airport manager.
Fuel was really high, though.
Okay, recent events, none. We'll go through this kind of quick because there's not a lot of excitement here. You'll hear the crickets in the background. Upcoming events, none. Obviously, we'll have some snow to deal with soon. That's an event. Other items of interest. On the 2nd of December, Continental Paving came in and addressed successfully some water infiltration issues in building 107, 121, and 129. Little pavement maintenance right up along the edges of the hangar. So people have not reported any more water coming into those three hangars, so that's a good thing. And as usual, Continental was great to deal with. As soon as we told them about the problem, they were right on it. On the 3rd, a request for an independent fee estimate was sent to Montgomery Consulting for the upcoming project Rehabilitate Golf Ramp and Foxtrot Ramp. I received that IFE today, and I reached out to Mr. Ippolito and Mr. Karen at Gale Associates to get their fee estimates so we can make the comparison, and that will happen tomorrow. Also on the 3rd, Chairman Woods and I met with representatives from the FAA, New Hampshire DOT, Bureau of Aeronautics, and Gale Associates to discuss the plan to relocate Taxiway Alpha. This project was previously denied, subsequently replaced with a Rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha in Place project, and unfortunately we did not receive a grant for that this year. So there have been some other discussions now about a triggering event, and the triggering event to do the Taxiway Alpha relocation was we have several people right now that are interested in developing corporate hangars in the grass tie-down area. And that's why we met with the FAA, and we'll continue to meet with them and DOT and Gale Associates. We have some letters of intent that are being drawn up right now, and we're going to really try to get this Taxiway Alpha moved like originally planned. It's been on the books for a long time. It's been in the master plan. And it's, we have to do this in order to develop that area, because if we don't, it limits the buildings that we can put there, it limits the ramp access, and you just can't do it. Right now, we're missing out on getting some of the larger corporate jets in Nashville, because we don't have a place to put the Gulfstream 650s and larger. And so that is basically the only area on the airport that we have to develop for these. So Nick might speak a little more about this, and I'll move right along. New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics completed our annual 5010 airport safety inspection. There were no negative findings, at least not that I was told about while we were doing the inspection. We had done some tree clearing out off the departure end of 1-4 that was previously flagged as going to be a problem. I removed all of those trees at no expense to the airport, by the way. We had a tree clearing operation going on with Eversource, and while they were here, they, because we gave them access to take care of all kinds of tree clearing around their power lines, they took care of that area for us for no charge. It was probably about a 3-acre parcel that they cleared for us, so very grateful to them for that. Currently, there's 2 T hangars still at Nashua, 109 Unit 24 and 17 Unit 1. If anybody's interested, contact me and I will set you up with the people that are selling the hangars. Also, we have community hangar rental available from Nashua Jet as well as Infinity Aviation. Anybody have any questions? Or crickets? I like it. Thank you.
Funny, we got real crickets.
Yep.
Okay, airport engineer, I see Nick back there. How's everyone doing tonight? Okay, so getting to the engineer's update. Project number one is the construction-only grant for the phase two of pavement maintenance. We are ready to close out this project. The only thing standing in the way is we still have not received the approved change order number 2 from HDOT. But upon receipt of that, we will be able to close out the project. We did, in the meantime, submit an additional reimbursement request to collect project-related costs. I believe that has been received by the city, and Gail has received their check as well. That being said, the credit that is due to the Nashua Airport and to NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics will be cut by Gail this January. That will be, I believe it was something along the lines of $5,300 back to the Nashua Airport. You guys keep about $300 and send the rest back to NHDOT. So recommended actions this month is please sign the final reimbursement and close out documentation upon receipt. Any questions on the pavement maintenance project? All right. The next project is the rehabilitation / relocation of Taxiway Alpha. Again, we received notification from the NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics that the FAA did not have discretionary funding to support the rehabilitation of Taxiway Alpha as programmed in 2021. They did offer a design-only grant, which we turned around a grant application the very next day for. In the meantime, we have this triggering event that sort of warrants the relocation of Taxiway Alpha. So that is sort of up in the air at this point. One of the things that does need action pretty soon is the Gale provided language to the Nashua Airport Authority to release Sergeant Corps from their contract for the rehabilitation of Alpha. This letter will need to be put on Nashua Airport Authority letterhead and sent to the contractor signed by the NAA Commission Chairman. Once this is complete, and depending on the final decision from FAA and the DOT on the relocation of Taxiway Alpha, we can move forward with the appropriate preparation. Any questions on the Taxiway Alpha project? It's sort of up in the air with moving targets, sort of traversing the space, but hopefully we can get that ironed out. I did draft a justification letter for the eligibility of Taxiway Alpha. That is currently under review by Matt at our office, and I should be able to get that over to you, Chris, tomorrow as well.
Okay. Nick and Susan, that letter was already drafted and sent to Sergeant Corp.
It was?
Yes.
Okay. I was not CC'd, so thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Any other questions on Alpha?
Right. And the third and final project is the rehabilitation of golf ramp and fox trot ramp. Final IFE documents have been provided to the authority, and you have received the IFE, which is great. So tomorrow I will send over Gail's fee proposal. If the IFE and Gail's fee are within 10% of each other, this is generally considered acceptable by the FAA and DOT. In the meantime, we are proceeding to the 95% design. We anticipate an early February bid for this project. The FAA grant application deadline has been moved up to April 11th from May 1st, so the NHDOT block grant deadline is moved up as well, so we want to get that out as early as possible. I'll keep you apprised of the development of those plans as we continue to meet. There are no recommended actions, as you've already received the IFE. So any questions on the golf run project? Okay.
Okay, just a quick question. It's really just a clarification. This is a typo under the funding. FAA should be 90% funder. Is that true for the project?
Yes.
Okay.
90%. I get that correct. And under general items, Gail received notification that the airport's 2021 SWIP and NOI have been accepted, and the airport's coverage under the 2021 MSGP is now active. So your SWIP is all set. You guys are covered.
And we can wash our airplanes?
That is correct. And you can thank Jackie Marks from our office for that. She did all the work. And that's all I have for the engineer's update.
Nick, rewind a little bit back to last month's meeting. There was a list of things, there was a list of items that were sitting up in the New Hampshire DOT, and I know Jess was in the middle of writing a list. Has that been concluded? That?
I did draft a letter and provided it to Chris and Rich. I don't think it was sent out, but you could revisit.
We did receive, I believe it was 4 to 7 items back from DOT at this point.
Okay.
So things are moving.
A letter was sent. It was sent by Carol to the DOT Bureau of Aeronautics, Carol Nuola.
Okay, so the letter that Jess was working on, that the same letter?
No. Carol, we dropped the letter, and Carol sent it up to Carol.
Okay.
And then we got the action on how many items, Nick?
4.
There was 4 of the 7, yeah. I believe. I think the letter from Farrell was more requesting the meeting to discuss the triggering event with Taxi Route. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe
so. Was?
Yeah.
How did we get so much action then?
But, you know, Dave, to respond to you, I believe we did start, seeing some things get processed by Carol.
Okay.
There are still some things outstanding, as Nick points out, but, she's been moving forward with some of the
business. Good. Well, thanks for your effort, Jess.
No problem. Okay. You can stash it away and use it sometimes for somebody else.
Well, we still have it.
Okay, any other questions for Nick tonight? Okay, so moving on. We have no committees. We currently have no old business. So on to new business. We have a number of lease renewals to consider this evening. So we'll start with E1442, 7 Perimeter Road, renegotiate lease terms and conditions for lease extension. So everybody knows that this is one of the oldest keys on the airport.
So this is the one that's kind of out in the middle of anything?
Yeah.
This is the one that was really confusing when we first received it in the mail, or when I talked to Mr. Cantosi, Jr. It looks like it was already approved way back when, through the minutes, but in the minutes, it states that the minutes were approved at Sage Rock down on But it is a motion to acknowledge the 20-year extension for the Tampa disease for the term to begin on January 1, 2022 and end on December 31, 2041. So they granted the extension, but then Director Stevens indicated that he was going to have the motion follow the lease extension document sent to the tenants in 2004. And then there is another motion to accept the document dated from Mr. Camposi, extend the lease to end on December 31st, 2041, with terms to be negotiated. So it looks like prior board approved the extension with the terms to be negotiated. Does that make any sense?
When was that?
This was done in
2004.
No, 2016.
Referencing 2004.
Referencing 2004. Which is when a lot of the letters for lease extension.
So administratively, how did you handle this back then? Did you tell them?
I was not sure. This was not me.
None of us were.
So it looks like there was nothing signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm not seeing anything that was recorded with the registry of deeds, which is normally what I do once an extension has been granted. I don't have anything. I didn't see anything in the file, and Mr. Chipley did not include anything in his correspondence.
So in 2016, there was an affirmation of an extension that was exercised in 2004?
Yes.
So how did that come to even be?
So in 2000,
12 years later, just want to make sure we are.
Well, in 2004, the National Airport Authority sent out letters to all tenants. That at one of their business meetings, they passed a motion passed allowing all current 2020 leaseholders to request an additional 20-year extension to their current lease. So if you're a 2020 leaseholder and you wanted to make it a 2020, they were allowing you to do this.
Oh, so it's kind of a little bit of an interim reset thing?
Yeah, so they went back and they did this and they requested it way back when. So now I think this is their additional 20 years. Make sense?
Would you like a copy of what they wrote in March
10, 2004? I have a copy of it.
Okay.
What did they write?
This one?
This one.
No, I don't see that.
I think that my condo association might have provoked that.
Okay.
And so one condo association was granted an extension.
Well, at least the center
of the respect.
Okay. So you reached out and said, hey, it expires 31 December 2021. But Dana, we're there, right?
Yeah, I reached out.
In 2004, we'll ignore 2016 or something.
This is actually looking back to what I gave you.
I gave it. That one is over there,
though. Oh, okay. I have that.
That's
right.
Oh,
okay.
I just
took the
copy off of it.
Okay.
And
I was present when
Tampoli
spoke about...
Were you in this one?
You were too? Okay, there you go. We're both running back.
First group.
In my opinion, I really believe it's just a standard approving of these terms, or renegotiating them, and doing 20, granting the 7-year extension, which I believe has already been done.
I can tell you which board members were in attendance that meeting also.
Yeah, I know what they did.
Kevin Bill's chair.
Oh, we appointed Steve.
No, 2004. We'll make sure you never have this behavior on your website to capture it all. So the basis of this was 1982, where this started.
That's the basis of our CPI.
Trying to find something here other than the date. So,
and that was when the first condo went up.
So assuming that we make a motion on this tonight, we're going to be moving to perhaps, you know, like keep the terms and conditions the same.
Yeah.
Kind of just talked about the T's and C's, but it doesn't really talk about dates and years and right. It's all just calculations and anything that said, you know, other than the references between 04 and 16 and today.
Yeah. What is the responsibility that the board has, considering this has already been approved in theory 5 years ago? I think it was approved 5 years ago, but according to the minutes, they wanted to terminate the agreement. But nothing was ever done, so basically that was over 5 years. Yes.
This is standard renewal. Increase
for whatever happened.
They've been doing the regular standard, yes. Everybody.
Yeah, I'm sorry, there's no renewal term.
I believe at that time there was, Mr. Tambosi wanted to assure the board that they were going to be here for a long time. And I can't remember the financial implications, but they wanted assurance from the board that they could look forward to having their lease extended. And at that time, the National Airport Authority Board was kind of very interested in perhaps preserving their opportunity to relocate, to renegotiate terms and conditions. Hence that line.
That was all in 2018.
Right.
So my inclination, since the 2016 board punted this, my inclination is that we offer the Tamponi the terms and conditions that they enjoy today. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been, you know, my stance on this is that we've been renewing leases. We've not been tinkering with the terms and the conditions. You know, we've been offering, you know, renewals on, you know, condo associations and also, box hangers under current terms and conditions. And I think it would behoove us to continue doing so.
Okay. So what are you saying happened in 2016?
I don't know.
Nothing.
Well, so
it looks like they just assigned the lease in 2016.
It looks like
within themselves, sort of, the legal.
Yeah, that was
done in 2016.
And also at the meeting, there was discussion of, if you look at page 5, the board approved
the vote on the lease. They did, but the motion, the motion was modified because the director at the time, was interested in making modifications, perhaps even substantial modifications, to the terms of leases.
I can confirm that exact thing. The chair at the time reported reviewing, how many are there, 40 leases or something?
Mm-hmm.
And identifying differences in the terms and conditions, and was speaking of having them try and make them the same, and looking at the opportunity at the time of changing the lease. Within that environment, Mr. Tambosi came forward and wanted an assurance that at the expiration of his
how to contact Brian, nothing more than that. That's the year Fairline joined for later that year, right? That summer?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Things were getting really sporty at that time.
Only for another reason.
Yeah, it was. We were filling auditoriums. I mean, it was a show. So there was a lot of things afoot that I think we later just sort of said, we're not going to do that, we're not going to do that, we're not going to do that, and kind of brought things back into focus.
The previous chairman's ambitions were kind of, you know, like shut down,
right,
you know, at some point. And, you know, and I think the current board, again, have been granting lease extensions and granting current terms and conditions. We haven't been making substantial changes. Also, if I remember correctly, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, there might be small differences between the terms and conditions on the leases, but overall, they're pretty similar.
Overall, yeah. You and I went through them with the DOT Bureau of Aeronautics. And you have to remember that these are all, in terms of terms, they're all adjusted biennially by the CPIW. So that's worked for a long time, and it continues to work. And like you said, the board has been granting these lease extensions with that in mind.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think we want to try to get in the business of retinkering with that either, for all the reasons we didn't before.
Can we do a vote on both what to offer for terms and conditions as well as your vote on the extension?
I think they're positing, like, there's nothing to do. I think that's their position, right? It's like,
yeah,
there's nothing to do here. It's all been done 5 years ago.
Right, but it's never been recorded. They never had any.
It doesn't matter the question, was it recorded or, yeah.
It's never been any, like, usually we do an addendum.
Mm-hmm.
But that their lease has been extended.
Okay.
There's no that.
Yeah, we need to pay for that.
Just getting it back to that point?
We're being consistent, which we should.
And it's easy to follow.
We need to have consistent documentation.
I'm sorry, which one again?
Yeah, like, so we did say this February of last year, we did unit 1459 in the same thing, and then I just record it, and then vote was taken, let everybody know the vote, and then the term, and then on this one, we also created an additional 20 terms commencing on for another 20 years, because this was the last, for West Lewis, this was his last option to extend. Same with Mr.
Tamposi.
This is their last option to extend.
So for Mr. Tamposi, since the board in 2015, you know, proposed a motion to extend their lease but have the terms and conditions subject to change.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, they approved extending the lease to December 31, 2041.
Right.
But that was never recorded.
No.
Can we fix that and get the extension recorded to 2041?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and also, So I'm trying to come up with, you know, and Joe, help me out because
sure.
We're good at these motions here.
So I just
I would like to affirm the previous board's decision to extend the lease to December 31, 2041. But now, you know, extend also that lease be granted, you know, that extension be granted with current terms and conditions.
Yeah, I think we just say that. I would just say that, you know, extend it, date it back to 2016, whatever the administrative cleanup is.
I don't think it really matters
okay.
2016 because the term is still the same.
Okay, so 2041.
It hasn't expired. It's still
with existing terms and conditions remain the same, the airport authority won't option to renegotiate.
Okay. say it again.
Make a real motion.
Yeah. Okay, put forth a motion that the National Airport Authority does an administrative cleanup of the Tamposi lease unit, what was that again? 1442.
Mm-hmm.
To record properly the extension of lease extension as previously granted to end December 31st, 2041. Terms and conditions remaining the same, the National Airport Authority will not option to renegotiate.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, any further discussion on Tampa Lee?
So just want to understand this, Susan, on the financial part of it. We have continued to calculate and to build them for the CPI kickers every 2 years.
That is correct.
In this 5-year interim.
That is correct.
As if it were still in place.
Because they were still in their previous 20 years.
Okay.
The previous 20 years is extending December 31, 2021.
Okay.
New extension that was granted 5 years ago, reaffirmed tonight.
Then maybe we'll talk about changing it.
January 1, 2022.
Okay. Yeah, I got
it. All terms and conditions is to remain the same.
So, gotcha. And thank you to you for reaching out to them to say, as we read the books, this is expiring. So
I wasn't aware of this.
Well, right. So to your credit, you actually reached out to a tenant who hadn't sent in something yet. And so you helped clear this up before the renewal actually would have taken place.
Yes.
Yes.
What she really discovered was that the board or the previous administration had never recorded it.
Right.
And that was the big catch.
Very good. Anyway, that's
all. Great. Are we all in favor?
So
aye.
All those in favor of extending the lease for E-1442 under current terms and conditions to expire December 31, 2041, and correct the administrative omission from a few years back, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We went that way.
Once you give them up, Wes.
So, let's see. Brings us to parcel E-1443, Natural Aviation Associates 2, exercise option to extend lease.
At least this one's on time.
That's how we're
going to get this to you. And again, his lease is expiring. The same as December 31st, 2021, and he has an option to extend for 20 years.
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't?
No. This is the final option under the. So that was one of the questions I'm quite sure that we'd like to address at some point.
I think we're about this one, correct?
Yeah.
And it looks like you do have this option. It is recorded.
Maybe that's the one that's yellow.
Yeah.
That's you, right? So this is your option to extend from January 22 to 20 years?
Yes, but
This is your final renewal. But you don't.
So he's seeking the additional 20-year on top of this final option to extend.
Yes.
You want to go to 61, 61? Well, that's optimistic, Paul.
Well, I think that they were all renewed at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the first one then.
Yeah. No.
All of the McNeil ones.
It makes sense.
Jim Tamposi sold to Jerry McNeil. And I think it was, you were wondering about the parallel hangar along the taxiway. That was condoed at the same time that ours was, and I think the one next to us. And that was in 1980.
And he's here as well.
I think they were all, they all had the same term, because they were owned by, he had sold to Jerry.
So David, I think he asked you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Hogue, that we extend the current lease for 20 more years under current terms and conditions, and add the option to to extend for another 20. So we're not extending the lease to 2060.
That's right? Correct. It's not, it becomes another option.
It becomes another option.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And you may have those other two entities that will perhaps be approaching you as well.
And that's one of those
subject to renegotiation, the second 20.
Yeah, the second 20 could be subject to renegotiation.
Sure.
Yeah, the normal language.
Yeah, yeah. So the normal, you know, the normal language.
So 20 years, somebody else.
So, but anyway, given what we just did for Mr. Camposi and given you know, this term for its history, I will put forward a motion to extend the lease for Nashua Aviation Associates 2 for an additional 20 years, you know, under current terms and conditions to expire in, you know, on the 31st day of December 2041, and also to give them the option of extending for another 20 beyond that to 2061 with the terms and conditions subject to renegotiation.
Just a quick, maybe nuanced question. The first one wouldn't be an extension. It would be the exercise of the funds, whatever option.
Indeed, yes. Yeah.
And then the option to extend 20 years.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, what he said.
Any more discussion on this? Okay, all of those in favor of, you know, extending the current lease, you know, to the end of January of 2041 under current terms and conditions, and offering the option of another 20-year extended terms and conditions to be subject to renegotiation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and all those not in favor? Okay, that motion carries. So we have E-1444, Natural Aviation Associates 3, exercise option to extend.
Yes, good evening. Paul Santana, representing E-1444 or Associates 3. And basically, that's the exact same thing as the previous association. With that last one, so our 20-year option going forward, and then requesting the additional or requesting the option for the following one.
Okay.
Denied.
That would be something different.
I'm sure you're a little more eloquent making the motion.
I just paid the stylist to ask for it.
I don't want to keep the meeting at
the time. We're up to 1444. Let's just keep going.
Sure, I'll put forth a motion to approve the request for a lease extension, the final 20-year extension for parcel E-1444, commencing January 1st, 2022, ending December 31st, 2041, and also approve the option for an additional 20-year term, terms and conditions, and to be negotiated, subject to negotiation.
Any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed? Okay, motion carries.
What this is, so that was building 15.
We're building 13.
13, thank you.
We had, in one fact, Kristen, we had the privilege of having gate 7 built on our lease plan. And Chris stepped in and had it resurveyed and adjusted. So we didn't have to put it in the toll booth.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate that.
No, I did.
Oh, well. We wouldn't have paid the toll anyway.
Chris's predecessor was under the
impression.
All right, Susan did it.
Chris's predecessor was under the impression that was actually that little notch of airport thing. And that the lease didn't cover that. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
And Susan corrected it?
I did all the math and I figured it all out and approached Chris with it and he got it all taken care of.
Because I'm the guy who went to Steve and pointed out that they needed a gate there. So I'm glad.
So it's your fault.
No. I'm very glad Steve made that error then and the gate was installed and now Susan can pick. And everyone's happy.
Everyone is
The other thing I might mention is that that property, two properties were part of the Farm Bureau Service that Duke Camp Woods had bought. And so at the time that those buildings were acquired by Camp Woods, the leases were different than the new tea hangers up in North End. And I think the tea hangers of North End have 20 feet on the length, 10 feet on both ends. Our lease land is 40 feet on the south side, 30 some odd feet on the north side along the line, 45 feet to the airport, towards the runway, and it was 40 feet towards the new gate. Mm-hmm. So these were the original leases. That's the way that they generated.
You should have put a toll booth in the phone.
You know, at that time,
they put the king in, they took mm-hmm. it. He was still paying for the square footage of all that property.
Wow. Okay. Oh, wow.
And that's all we did was just take out that little postage stamp that we so it's not included in the square footage anymore.
Okay. Let's see. And that brings us to E14-83, Associate LLC, exercise option to extend lease.
Does anyone know this guy, Shane? Be right
there. Let me guess.
Denied?
Yeah. I'll hear about it.
Mr. Chairman, I appear, Shane, in office for the record. I appear on behalf of 14-83 Associates, Condominium Association. By an approach, I have photocopies that I made, so we can show and tell photocopies of the building, just to help you identify where it is. You probably more than know well where they are, where it is, but I made the copies, so I'll feel fulfilled if I can pass them out.
Absolutely. Don't you buy enough for everybody?
No, I did. Make sure Wes gets a copy. our cousin.
Sometime in 2061, someone's
going to
need something from Wes.
Let me call Wes. Yeah, but he has
a little box. It's the West box.
And I hope to be there.
He might be in a good state of preservation.
Like Ted Williams.
I'd be happy to answer any questions. This building was, by way of background, condominiumized in 2003 from a set of key hangers originally developed by, for those who might remember, Dr. John Singer, back in 83. And there are eight units. They're all occupied. One is by Bob Bolio with, thank you, Chris, dispensation from the Airport Authority for him to operate a little mechanical shop. He works on tugs and so forth here at the airport, airport vehicles. Not much else to discuss on the lease except that as of 2024, the land lease, ground lease with the authority expires completely. There are no further options except for a 20-year extension, which we received as part of the 2014 process.
Okay.
That Wes made reference to earlier. That is subject to renegotiation in terms and conditions, this 20-year extension. We'd like to ask of you, if we can, that you would add an additional 20-year term onto this so that this current term, which we're seeking to invoke the extension of in accordance with that authorization, that the current term be, in accordance with the chairman's comments tonight, at the current rent rate. Happy to do that as escalated by the CPI. The second 20-year term that we're asking that you authorize as part of this request, that could be subject to renegotiations of terms and conditions. I think what I haven't discussed, and when Mr. Hood brought it up earlier and discussed his lease, Chris spoke, second one subject to renegotiation of terms and conditions. The one caveat I have insofar as when you've got a drop dead, for example, in our case, except for this extension, which is subject to renegotiation in terms of conditions, it's in effect a drop dead lease in 2024. When you have no more left, and you and we receive a grant of an additional 20 years, after, if there is a second 20-year term, which Mr. Hood asked for, following the initial 20-year new lease in effect, if that's subject to renegotiations of terms and conditions, there's a question I just, and I don't know the answer to it. It doesn't need to get resolved tonight, but I'd like to leave it with you and plant the seed if I can. Insofar as the extent to which title is fully marketable on the property, insofar as obtaining financing or underwriting approval from a financer to buy or sell a unit. Because the second 20-year term is ambiguous with respect to what the terms and conditions are. I think it's clear, and some folks here may have further thoughts on it. I think it's clear that the expectation is the authority will renew that second term, if you follow me, that's subject to renegotiations and terms and conditions. But I think it's a fair question to, and we're not asking that to be resolved in our request tonight, but I think it's a fair question to leave with you, the extent to which title continues to be marketable. For those of us who own tea hangers here on the field, for example, if you've got 20 years left, or let's say you've got 17 years left, and there's a second 20-year term, but subject to renegotiations of terms and conditions. If you want to sell a unit, someone wants to finance the purchase from you of that unit, I think a question exists whether or not an underwriting facility would look at that, or a title examiner would say, you know what, you really don't have a second 20 yet until they approve it, because you have to negotiate it, and the question is always open, notwithstanding what I think is an excellent policy by this board, insofar as continuing leases and honoring the stability in favor of stability of airport property and business. But you can't, and an underwriter can't rely on that with respect to future boards. And so the question, I think, could be open. I don't know what the answer is to it, and I'm not seeking to have it addressed tonight. But I think it's a fair question to leave with you insofar as thinking about it moving forward, and whether or not you might leave, as in, for example, Mr. Hood's request tonight or ours, where, in effect, we're at lease end. We've got a subject to renegotiation piece open now, but whether or not you don't give a full 20 years. The past practice has been you could give a full 20 plus 20, and that there'd be a third 20, if you recall, that would be subject to renegotiations in terms and conditions. The first two 20s would give you that protection with respect to financeability, certainly through the first 20-year term. So I'm not sure if everybody's up.
I think what you're getting at, Shane, is a it's an excellent point from a transferability issue, because if you're 5 years into this next 20, if you're in year 2026, and somebody wants to buy one of the buildings, and with a 20-year mortgage, you're straddling, you're into that second 20 years, which may be, which the underwriter may see as being, we don't know that, but maybe kind of some doubt, but in that subject, isn't it implied if not stated that it's reasonable? Nothing that's going to be unreasonable, kind of thing.
I was just wondering, is that a function? Should the language be tighter than just addressed that it's maybe a function of the computation of the lease rate, as opposed to the general terms and conditions that could effectively, discard the conditions of which you currently exist?
Well, that's a fair point. So one of the considerations you could have in as far as that's concerned is to make explicit that it is contemplated that the lease be renewed. Our language often included in leases is to the effect that subject to renegotiation of rent, for example,
right,
ground rent. That would make clear, okay, it's really contemplated by the parties. Or you could actually say that. You could say it is contemplated by the parties that the lease will renew and the parties will reach a reasonable agreement on ground rent.
I think we've done that with other leases from a year or two ago, because that was that concern that are we going to suddenly say, well, we're going to screw around with the insurance provisions that have to be covered. Are we going to mess around with other covenants?
Some substantive element of
the lease. That's all terms and conditions.
The key is,
but if we want to just simply zero in on you know, the financial piece, the net piece. And that, and I think we did that with a couple of them. At least, you know, in the past few years.
And
but
what we did with one or two is they were within like a handful of years of
right. I want to say it was Greg's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think it was. I think it was.
That's right.
Yeah.
We were like midway through.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I guess you know, as you, I don't think we are going to fully resolve that issue tonight. But it's a great thing that for us to contemplate, I guess. But all I would probably throw out there is that if somebody does come to us in 5 years, you know, one of the three units that get three properties that get approved tonight, and says, "Hey, we need to sell this thing with it," but the underwriter, we can probably do something with it then, you know, as an as needed basis. But I think that's of course, as you pointed out, that's this board. Yeah, we're fine. But what if we get another, shall we say, a very different board?
Didn't we run kind of, I thought this was something that came up early on when we were doing this back in 2016, wasn't there, Chris, maybe you know, the issue of the 2020 was beyond the 50-year disposal
line? So, yeah, that's one of the things we have to look at or consider is that our grant assurances. Like we can't, you know, we can't offer super long leases. I think, you know, I don't know what the number is.
Anything over 49 years is considered disposal of property.
But does that conclude options? That's different.
The first two are options to exercise under current terms. The second, or the third, I should say, like Jane was saying, is where they become subject to negotiation. I think that's how it keeps you out of
it. Keeps you out of the 49-year period.
And that was the...
Do you have any input on this one? Or?
Not really. Okay. Well, we did have 60 years. Because the original term was from 82.
Agreed. Yeah, that's where it came up. Was a lot of these leases had that total of 60 years,
right.
And when we started getting into the weeds on some of this several years ago, the grant assurance disposal 49, all these topics kind of bubbled to the surface, which may have been part of the reason that they want to have this sort of stratifying of the leases and the lease language. Not really, but yeah, I agree that those do exist, and you know, I mean, maybe this is just a nuanced question to ask somebody who's in the know of. You know, tighten the language up, and that just the mere inclusion of that language gets you out of jail on the 49-year thing, because there's a little bit of nebulous something out there that's, you know, subject to whatever. So,
and remember, if you've got a lease termination, for example, our lease, in my view, from a legal standpoint, our lease expires in 2024 on Building 19, 1483 Associates. That expires then.
Sorry. I'm sorry. 2023.
Just so. I'm all ears. It expires 2024, and from a legal standpoint, what we face, and this is why I brought this up, when it is subject to renegotiation in terms and conditions, that always leads up in the question that maybe the parties may not agree, or they may not agree, or the party in the superior bargaining position could adopt a position that, hey, the rent just went to $20 a foot per year. And it's like, well, we just can't do that, and that's the end of it. And there's no implicit requirement to be reasonable in that. So that's one of the things, you know, I think you can put in there as an example. But getting back to Chris's earlier point, and getting back to the goalposts on the 49-year requirement with respect to grant assurances and not running afoul of the grant of an estate, I think that the philosophy behind the third 20 being subject to renegotiation terms and conditions was to avoid that, because it introduced sufficient ambiguity that the authority itself, not the tenant, but the authority could say, hey, we're off the hook, and we don't have to actually approve this because it's subject to renegotiation of terms and conditions. So I just leave that thought with you. My concern, coming back to this, is if you're in the initial 20-year term, you've got 5 years left, for example, you want to sell a unit, and you have one 20-year term subject to renegotiation left, an examiner coming in, an underwriter, could look at that and say, you know what, it's not done deal yet, and we're not going to underwrite the sale and extend the mortgage for you. So
well, I guess
that's where I'm going.
No, this is good stuff to think about. I guess our out right now, if you will, is, you know, like Greg did a little while ago, there's nothing to prevent someone to come to us early and petition for a renewal at the time and say, hey, you know, like we have a potential lender, if that, you know, they would like this firmed up.
And that'd be fair enough for us. Thank you.
Is there anything statutorily that requires all these leases to be renewed on a 20-year basis or to, you know, in this lending situation to be able to extend something for 5 years and then have the 20-year kick in or something, rather than all of us setting in stone what may happen 40 years from now? Or where did the 20 years come from? Is it statutory at all, or is it?
Brian, I think the 20-year concept came, that's what you would generally anticipate a term for a mortgage on an acquisition would be. So it was drafted around underwriting, financial underwriting requirements in terms of what a lender would want to see, a straight clean 20 years. And if that went over into a second year term.
So if you're 5 years in to a 20-year lease, it may be behoove us, and I'm not saying it does, I'm just saying there may be a situation where we maybe get her off instead and just renewing that for 20 years right then and there and kind of moving all the dates up 5 years rather than setting in stone what's going to happen 40 to 60 years out. So, and just understanding if we have any statutory issues around that. Which it sounds like we probably don't.
So. Okay. Any more discussion?
I knew you were going to do that. What are we talking about now?
Okay, so
we'll put forth a motion to approve the request to extend the lease on 19 Perimeter Road for
20 years
with the option for a 20-year extension with terms and conditions to be open to negotiation, subject to negotiation.
Whatever we did to the other two.
Yep. Second.
We need the dates in there, and that's part of the motion.
Okay. So to approve the extension of lease that expires on when, Susan? 15? No.
September
30th, 2023. September 20th, 2023. Okay. Commencing October 1st, 2023. Right.
September
43. September 30th of 2043 with a second 20-year option with terms and conditions subject to negotiation, which would expire on September 30th of 2063.
Ooh, well done. 2063.
The
motion has been seconded. Any further discussion?
I'll be retired.
Okay. All those in favor of extending the lease per Joe's motion and offering the extension beyond, the optional extension beyond that, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. And all those not in favor, okay, that motion carries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you okay if I skip ahead to the 1486 lease?
Yeah. This is crushing the leases.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a couple of rules right here. Okay, so the 1486 lease is the small parcel of land around the car wash on Jerry Avenue, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. have any questions about the lease language?
The summer question is this pretty much drawn up like everything else, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The lease is drawn up as the previous lease was.
Okay.
The tenant has reviewed it and let us know today that they're okay with it.
Just for context and a record, what was the genesis of all this again? Just completely expired.
Yes. The previous lease, had an abrogation easement that was granted, and they've essentially paid nothing on this property ever because of that, and that expired. And so we drew up the new lease with new terms.
Who drew this up? Who
did this? Susan.
Okay. And so this will completely replace the other one?
Yes. The other one's expired.
So the home easement thing goes away. And
the easement thing is in perpetuity.
So I mean, the issue is. Right. So the only thing really different here is that we're setting this is as if it's a brand new lease.
Yes.
Yep.
Because it, well, with numbers in it.
Yep.
And so it's a 30, and that 30 cents is for, is what we just talked about.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll make a motion to accept this lease as written.
Okay. I will second it. That's our motion. Any discussion on this lease? Sir? Okay. All in favor of approving the lease for G1483 Associates, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed? Okay. That motion carries. So that lease is approved. So, last item under new business. We have a request from a board member we allow the option, for board members to participate remotely, on occasion. And, we would have them participate, say, via Skype or, one of those popular meeting platforms. I talked to Stephen Bolton, the national corporate attorney about this. He sent out some guidelines for this. Which I don't know if I shared with everybody yet. I'm sorry for that. I will. But in a nutshell, he says that such a thing is allowable with some qualifications, which is that a quorum of board members must be physically present at any business meeting in order to conduct business. So if we don't have a quorum of board members physically present, we can't do business.
Well, wait a minute. Can we? For a year, we met with Zoom, and we were not over.
That was under a special dispensation by the state, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that's expired. Public boards are now required to meet in person.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, next month's meeting is going to be not a quorum because Brian's gone and I'm gone.
But if I'm here,
well, there's still three people here. Three board members for a quorum.
Well, if myself and Joe and Jessica are here, we would have quorum.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right, good.
Okay. So, yes, the requirement is that a quorum of board members need to be physically present in the meeting place. Beyond that, the board members that are participating remotely have to be heard by, of course, all the board members physically present. The remote board members have to be, audible, to the public. So that any discussions or any input that they have can be heard. The remote board members also need to be able to hear us and hear any comments from the public. So in a nutshell, those are the set of requirements. And Jess, so I'll let you talk about your oh, I'm sorry, Wes.
My question is, what Wes Luke is reporting. Is there a requirement that the public also be allowed to be remote, or is it just for the board members?
I didn't ask Attorney Bolton that particular question, but I can certainly pass that along.
Okay.
Also, I might point out, Attorney Bolton said that as long as we have board members participating remotely, any votes must be roll call votes.
you know, even for routine things like approving minutes. Everything's a roll call vote. So anyway, Jess, I'll let you, explain your circumstances.
Sure. So this came up because, as some of you or many of you know, I've been serving on the board for 2 years, and I've been offered a position out in Colorado for work, and I've accepted it. But of course, this interferes with my term for the board, so that's 5 years, and I've only completed 2 of the 5. But I would like to continue serving. It's a temporary assignment out in Colorado, so I'll be there temporarily a couple years. I'll be back at Nashua. I intend to stay deeply rooted here. I'm keeping my house. There's no major changes. You'll see me around, probably flying around here as well. So really the big question is whether or not I can operate as a board member remotely. Some of the time I hope to be here physically present. And so this has sort of, brought up this question. And Farrell was gracious enough to contact a lawyer to find out what, if anything, would be legal for this to be done. So I think that the result here is that the board will decide, and call the board members, whether or not this is going to be an allowable form for me to participate. If not, I will have to resign my position on the board.
Yeah, from my perspective, we don't want to lose you. So I think we've all learned that in this day and age, this works. This type of format works very well, and your input's always valuable. So.
Well, Jess, I'm really disappointed that you took work over us. Other than that, we should
really
do that.
Well, at least she's not going to class.
Yeah, that's the time.
It is a little easier since the time zone for Colorado is only a 2-hour difference instead of.
Well, put a statement in your deal with your employer that says you have to be back on the 3rd Monday here.
I think I have great latitude in when I am back to participate in other work related right. things or personal travel. So I do intend to be back here often.
Perfect.
And I would love to see you all in person.
Well, thank you for wishing to continue your boredom.
So, I mean, to be clear, I think serving on this board obviously is a voluntary position, and everybody has their own reasons for serving, but for myself, I love this airport. I wanted to continue. Somebody has to be on the board. I'm very happy to participate and to ensure that things are continuing to run smoothly as a well-armed or Christian citizen.
To make sure that we all do what we're supposed to do. Yeah, that's good.
So I really do want to continue serving. That
we're good.
If we can facilitate that with the remote option, then I would be very happy with that.
We'll make that work.
All right. To the extent you set up a remote link, could be circulated somewhere. So
yes, indeed.
We would go temporary.
I think to answer your question, I think that it's like. You would be welcome to participate remotely too. You just call in the same, right. Meeting that any of us would if we want to participate remotely.
Right. I mean, that assumes that you published it.
Yes, and we will. Yeah.
That was kind of my question.
Okay. Well, I will say anecdotally, when I got to read whatever in August for my second term on the board, I went to the Alderman meeting. Everybody was there in person, but then they had the big screens, and there was public input via that. Mm-hmm. So it must be going on. Obviously.
Okay. Well, we've got a big screen here, actually.
I'm told that, I thought I heard earlier that they won't allow us to hook up to any of this because they would have to give us a password and they don't want to do that.
Well, when I did judge's school, I brought my own computer and didn't tell anybody that I disconnected the cable from their computer and plugged it into mine.
That doesn't work anymore. There's certain protocols in place. Okay. I'm not going to have
to change that. Okay, I'll put, do we need a motion?
I think we do need a motion. The motion would be to allow board members to participate remotely.
And is there going to be a specific guideline that we'll publish as part of our...
Indeed, I'll send along the guidance that Attorney Bolton supplied to me.
Yeah, I'd make that motion. I think that's great.
All right, so we'll put forth the motion for the National Airport Authority to approve the remote participation in the monthly board meetings per the guidelines to be published here in a future date.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that motion carries. And thank you for wanting to continue to serve. I didn't want to lose you.
Thank you for having me.
That's a selfish need.
I'll send to Colorado in there.
Well, Chris can send you some snow from here.
So Gordon says there isn't any snow in Colorado.
I was going to say, we might need to send the snow that way.
Can we have a meeting in Colorado?
There we go. That's what I would
say. Is this Colorado Springs?
I am going to Colorado Springs.
Okay.
So let's see. So that's all for new business. We have no upcoming events. That brings us to public input as we close out the meeting. Anybody have any comments, you know, for the board this evening? Hey, where did the crickets go? Director comments, I'll start with Brian.
So I was thinking about this when the chamber, we had our economic outlook luncheon, and it just reminded me again, you know, a lot of people don't recognize what an economic engine the airport is, and so I just want to, and it's an interesting, everyone that I've always seen come to these meetings has the airport in, and the success of the airport in totality in mind. I think it's a big asset for Nashua, not just the airport itself, but this community that I see come to these meetings on a regular basis, so I commend you all.
Yes?
Well, this is the last meeting of 2021, so I just wanted to say a couple closing remarks. First of all, thank you to Susan and Chris and Joe and Alvin. And the NAA really runs smoothly because of the daily operations that are done by you. So thank you both very much. Thank you. Also to the board, it's been great serving another year with you. It's actually a pleasure, and I appreciate all your inputs and very unselfish guidance to the airport. So thank you for serving on the board and for allowing me to do so as well. And I wish everyone a happy holiday and happy new year.
Okay, I guess I'll go in order. So, you know, thank you for allowing me to serve as chairman for this past calendar year. You know, it's been a privilege to do that. You know, I appreciate it. And so just Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to my fellow board members, to Chris, to Susan, to Eldon, and Joe, and, you know, our public. So thanks very much.
Yep, thanks for another year, another opportunity to serve on this airport that I grew up right across the street from and has been a part of my life since day one. So I appreciate that, and I enjoy the opportunity to continue to serve. And maybe next year I'll be in the rear with the gear again. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, it's been another great year. I just wanted to say it was my second holiday dinner I went to this year, but there was no more wonderful conversation at the other dinners that I had last Friday at that dinner. It was great. It was a good exchange of ideas. You know, I really enjoy serving with these esteemed folks on this board, and look forward to another successful, and even more so, 2022. Merry Christmas to everybody, and Jess, good luck with your new venture.
Mm-hmm.
And be sure and send us your address.
Sometime in February.
Yeah.
I may be here for the January and February.
Yeah.
Her new address is top secret. She shared it with us. You know what would have to happen.
It might include a mountain or two.
I'm sure it does. Don't forget, I got you on Strava.
That's true. No more secrets.
Okay, so with that, I will move to adjourn the public portion of our meeting.
So move.
Okay, we're going to adjourn to non-public session pursuant RSA 91-8:3, Section 2A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee. So, moved and seconded. All those who are in. You gonna do a roll call?
Roll call for Dunning? I'm not sure if you're here.
Okay.
Roll call in the...
Come back.
No, I think maybe it's...
Maybe roll call in or roll call out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so we'll roll call out.
Roll call in, roll call out, or in, yeah, he is.
It won't hurt anything.
Vice Chairman Woods?
Yay.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yay.
Secretary Holland?
Yay.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes. Okay, we are adjourned.